Back to My Garden, episode 63.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
Attention, garden lovers. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most incredible garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from amazing gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Look out! Toxic chemicals, GMOs, and frankenfood. Don't panic, grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardening. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another episode of Back to My Garden. A great guest for us today, joining us from the Western Coast of the United States in Washington State. Robin has spent a lifetime gardening, ranching, and farming all over California, Virginia, and the Puget Sound region of Washington. She's a contributor to Growing a Greener World on PBS, and she's the primary contributor to the Garden Mentors blog. Absolutely sensational blog. We're going to talk about that as a resource today. When Robin isn't growing in the garden, she's also an avid cook, a gardening teacher, and she's passionate about the outdoors. Please welcome to the show, Robin Hagland. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much for having me.
I am excited that you're here. We got a ton to talk about, and I gave you a brief introduction. Now, I want to get to know you, and our listeners want to hear your story as well. So, Robin, take a minute or two, and just share with everybody a little bit about your background and how did you get into gardening?
Wow. Well, that's a big question. I can't remember a time when I wasn't gardening. I am descended from avid gardeners and farmers and ranchers. And I've always been out digging in the dirt and bringing in frogs and flowers and food from the garden. You know, growing up on farms, I grew food from day one. And you know, as I grew up, I explored many different career paths, and I always found myself back in the garden. And one day, I remember very vividly having an epiphany as I was out in pouring rain, pulling weeds, and dreading going back to an office job. And I thought, hey, you know what? People make careers out of working in the garden. So why can't I try that? And you know, at that point in my life, I was working in high tech and I had a lot of friends buying their first homes and they were, you know, saying, hey, you like to garden. Will you come help me? And I said, sure. But I kept running into pockets of information that I was missing. So I took a big leap of faith with a lot of support from my wonderful husband and went back to school to study horticulture in the Pacific Northwest region. I wanted to get an understanding of why the things that I have been doing all my life work and why some things that I might try don't work. And so with that in mind, I took that leap of faith, went back to school, studied for a year, met wonderful people, had moments of thinking, oh, I'm going to become a microbiologist, or oh, I'm going to become a plant propagator, or oh, all of these other things. But I always came back to that desire to teach and really wanting to guide people and empower them in the garden. I mean, that's one of the biggest things I tell people is that through my company, Garden Mentors, and through the website that I have at Garden Mentors, I seek to teach people and empower them to know how to care for their little piece of the planet. And so when I finished school, I decided to start Garden Mentors and embarked on this career of teaching people how to garden where they are, at home, in their piece of the planet. And sometimes that's telling them to hire a specialist. Sometimes it's teaching them hand in hand how to prune or how to properly do something what may seem simple to other gardeners, which is dig a hole. So I meet people where they are, in terms of their skill level, as well as where they are physically, and teach them about gardening and give them as much information as I possibly can and sell them from this lifelong knowledge base I've developed around all sorts of gardening.
Whoa, what an intro.
I hope I didn't ramble too much there.
Well, I like to take notes because, Robin, a lot of people listening to you and I talk about gardening, they're in their cars right now. They're going to that dreaded job or back from the job in rush hour. So, folks, for those of you driving, keep both hands on the wheels. Don't try to take notes with your thumb on your phone. I'll put Robin's links in the show notes on the blog at Back to My Garden. Make sure you follow Robin on Twitter at Garden Mentor. And then check out her resource site. And I can't call it a blog because there's too much good stuff on it. It's www.gardenmentors.com. I take notes. So I wrote down a bunch of stuff like you mentioned physical, meeting people where their physical levels are in the garden. We'll talk about that. But I want to take you back because you're in your garden, it's raining and you're pulling weeds and you're dreading going back to your job. And I guarantee you, hundreds of people are nodding along right now, can completely share how you felt. Weren't you absolutely terrified in the, when you made that step and that decision?
You know, I wasn't terrified. I was almost, it was more that I was relieved. It was very freeing to think, you know, I'm going to follow my bliss. You know, one of my friends that I shared an office with at the time said something to me, which is when you open your heart and follow your passion, all good things will come. And that's something I've tried to follow throughout my life. And I've also come to believe, and it's one of the things I try to teach to my clients, is that I don't like the word fail, you know. To me, it's a four-letter F word. Failure isn't really an option. I think that if something doesn't go the way that you had planned for it to go, that means that there's an opportunity to find something new in that and to grow from that. And so as I went out into this, you know, whole new space, I wasn't worried about failure. I was more intrigued by opportunity. And I have to say, you know, again, I got to give some props to my husband. You know, he's really done a lot to keep, you know, the roof over our house and do those sorts of things. You know, the financial part. I won't say that, you know, I've gone out and made a huge financial success. You know, we have different perceptions of financial worth and you know, what things are worth being paid. And gardening is certainly, in my experience, not a super high earning career choice in terms of dollars. In terms of other things, it's absolutely rewarding. It gets us outside. It connects us to the planet. It feeds us. It does all sorts of other wonderful things. And so, you know, going back to that day one, like I said, I was relieved and excited. I've certainly had my moments of terror. I'm not brave in the face of everything in this world, but I try to face things and look at them as opportunities rather than potential failures.
And you're teaching and, you know, you got a rather full plate. I wanted to ask you, did you get a chance to garden this season?
Yes, I did. I do. You know, I have a lot of people say, oh, I want to come see your garden. And I warn them, you know, there's that old saying that goes something about, you know, the cobbler's children have no shoes. My garden can look that way at times, because I save a lot of my, you know, gardening time for my clients. And, I am not a spring chicken anymore. And so physically I have my limitations as well. And so there are some things that I, don't get to, or, you know, there is no shame in hiring someone to help you. And there are times where I will hire help. I have some struggles with my right hand, which I am right-handed, and so pruning will tire my hand out very quickly and weeding and things like that. So sometimes, you know, I have to kind of coach myself and say, you know what, you need to go hire someone and get a little bit of help here. And that'll get me over the hump so I can focus on the other things that I want to do, which may be, you know, starting seedlings for my vegetable beds or things like that versus some of the heavier lifting that maybe I thoroughly enjoyed when I was younger, but no longer feel I have the strength or energy or time. Let's be honest, time is a factor too, to get out there and do myself.
But you still get in the garden with your clients' gardens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, to learn to prune, I can spend a lot of time referencing drawings and describing, you know, how a plant grows and why it reacts to cuts we do. But there's nothing more empowering than having someone actually physically show you on your plant where to make a cut and what the difference is between dead wood and living wood. There's nothing as freeing for a new gardener as having someone who's confident in tearing up a root ball do it for you the first time, so that when you actually go ripping and tearing roots before you put a plant in the ground, you've already had someone tell you, you know what, this is okay. The plant is okay. I'm not torturing it. I'm actually helping it so that it will thrive in my garden. So yes, I definitely do a lot of physical work.
One of the fun things about being a podcaster is you get to ask questions with a personal agenda. I could use your advice.
All right, I'll try.
I bought 4 raspberry canes 3 summers ago from Walmart because they were in the discount bin, like 99 cents, or we'll throw them out.
Okay.
I stuck
them
in. Sometimes
you get what you pay for.
Well, yeah, but you know, I'm what you call an enthusiastic amateur, so I stuck them in the back garden.
Okay.
Underneath a Japanese maple in clay. Just picture the laziest guy taking like a bad approach to it, and that's what happened.
Four
summers later, it's 22 square feet. There's dozens of bushes now. Some of them are 6 or 7 feet tall. I don't know if there are steroids in the ground where I planted them or what, but I've never cut back raspberry canes in the fall before. But it's time. Like, they're ridiculous.
Okay.
Any idea how far back? Or some of them are the thick brown mature ones that give amazing fruit. Some of them are the young tender green ones that only have a little tiny fruit in the spring.
Okay. So, you know, there are different kinds of raspberries out there. Some are ever-bearing, some are June-bearing. In general, what I do with raspberries is I actually save my raspberry pruning for the first thing I do after the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, which happens here in Seattle in February each year. So I always know, okay, the show's over, I got to get out and prune my raspberries. And what I do is I cut all of the dead brown canes to the ground and get rid of them. And if I wait until February to do it, it's much easier to tell the living ones from the dead ones. If you're ever unsure, you can just do a little scraping of the bark. And if it comes up brown, it's dead. If it comes up kind of a wet white or a green, it's alive. And that's a really good little pruning trick. You don't want to do a huge bark scrape on any plant, but you can do just a little bit, like with your fingernail. And that'll help you know the dead from the living. And so I cut all of the dead ones to the ground. And then I'll do any tying down that I want to do of the remaining canes. And if you visit my website at gardenmentors.com and go to the blog section, I do have an A to Z pruning guide. And I'm pretty sure I've got a raspberry guide in there. If I don't, I'll try to write one pretty soon here. But that's my tip. Some people do like to prune in the fall, and it can vary based on your location, too. So that can make a big difference. But you could do the same thing this time of year and take the dead canes all the way to the ground. And because it is a cane grower, as you've experienced with these raspberries traveling all over the place, cutting some to the ground will encourage new ones to come up. And if I have any really little weak ones near the ground, I usually cut those out too, because they won't produce very well, or I'm unlikely to see the fruit when they do. I like to keep the big tall ones.
When I was a little kid, that was kind of how I earned my allowance and my parents' raspberry patch. And I got a pint every other day this summer out of that little patch, and it just brought me so much happiness. It's when you're a kid, you eat one and you pick one. And when you're an adult, you just kind of eat them all as you go.
Exactly. That's great. Well, I'm glad you had such productive canes. I tend to keep either several mason jars or even a zipper plastic bag in my freezer. And if I can't keep up with the berries, I'm tossing them in by the handful throughout the growing season. And this time of year, I'm pulling them out and using them in, whatever I'm making, whether it's a smoothie or I'm baking. I'm actually working on a new sugar-free muffin recipe that has raspberries and chocolate in it. And by sugar-free, I don't mean completely sugar-free. I mean no added sugars. I like to keep the sweet down for my husband, who is blood sugar challenged. And so that's another passion, is finding ways to use the foods from the garden to produce foods that are both delicious and incredibly nutritious and good for those of us who are working to keep our blood sugar in check.
Can you say more about that, Robin? Because I know World Diabetes Day is coming up, and it's impacting millions upon millions of people.
Yeah. Blood sugar challenges are just kind of insane right now. I grew up with a grandmother who was diagnosed with adult onset diabetes about the time I was born, and she really taught me a lot about it and gave me a healthy appreciation for what it meant, as well as a bit of a fear. She was very nurturing about it, but she did show me how to test the blood. She tested my blood. She showed me she had to give herself insulin injections, and she showed me what that meant. And that meant a needle, and I was not going to go there. It was my choice, growing up. But, a few years ago, my husband was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And rather than just simply give into it, we sought out physicians who helped us take a very holistic approach to it. And part of that was very much changing diet. And by changing diet, that meant changing a lot of the foods that we grow. As you mentioned early on, I have grown food all of my life. Some of those things that were typical crops for us are things that we no longer grow. And so that also had me looking at, what can I grow? For instance, instead of a potato, what is an alternative crop that we could grow that might satisfy that type of a desire on our plate? That white thing on our plate that we're so used to seeing, whether it's potato or rice or a slice of bread or what have you. And so, for instance, one of the things that I really started cultivating was the sunchoke, which can be a bit of a weed and spread like your raspberries did in the garden. But I've come up with ways to grow it and keep it contained in our small residential space. So, that's one example. But, through these changes, through the help of the physicians, my husband's turned around his blood sugar. He can't go back to eating chocolate cake after dinner, but he certainly can eat these other foods that are much lower in sugar and really keep his diet in check. Little bit of exercise helps as well. And part of that exercise program is going to include being in among all of the people that will be out on November 14th for World Diabetes Day, marching to build awareness and attending different events all over the world, which you can follow through the Twitter hashtag. It's hashtag WDD for World Diabetes Day, if you want to learn more. And certainly you can visit my website. There are a number of recipes, as well as an A to Z food growing guide on gardenmentors.com that's available to everyone 24/7 free. The recipes are printable, or you can just do like I do and set your iPad on the counter and go for it whenever you need to produce something yummy.
An alternative to potatoes is the sunchoke. Is that what you said?
That is what I said. Yeah. So the sunchoke. Are you familiar with the sunchoke?
I've got a question mark in my voice. I am not familiar with the sunchoke. And I know our listeners over in Europe, I don't know. I don't know if they've heard it.
Sunchoke is a, it's also known as Jerusalem artichoke.
Okay.
It's a perennial sunflower plant with an edible root. And the root does produce sugars, but they're in a form that our body doesn't know how to digest. So it passes through our body without impacting blood sugar. Or if it does impact blood sugar, it's very minimally, based on my understanding of it. And you can read a lot about that easily on the internet. I have some information at gardenmentors.com. You won't get that super creamy, starchy texture you get from a potato, but you can mash it, you can fry it, you can roast it, you can do all sorts of different things with it. And they're just becoming ready to harvest right now out of gardens. When I grew up on the farms in Virginia's, in Virginia, there's only one of them, they were a ditch weed. They just grew everywhere. My mom would point them out, hey, if you're ever starving, go pull that up. You can eat it. So, you know, it can be a wild harvested item, or it can be cultivated as this beautiful come again perennial that grows almost as tall as a tree in your garden. Beautiful. Great pollinator feed, too. Lots of top growth that you can chop up and put in your compost. So it feeds all sorts of things.
Wow, fantastic. See, folks, I told you this was going to be a good episode. Robin, you got tons of goodies on your site. That's awesome.
No, thanks. Yeah, it's a passion of mine. I really enjoy writing. And, you know, I see it as another way to achieve empowerment for people. And there's nothing as satisfying for me as getting a comment on the blog or having someone contact me for hand-in-hand gardening lessons or contact me for speaking engagements after reading something that they found very powerful and helpful through my writing. It makes a big difference for me.
You had mentioned the Northwest Garden Show. You attend every year, don't you?
I do. I love it. It's such a great, it's a great kickstart for spring. You know, it happens in February, but here in the Pacific Northwest, it sort of feels like it's the beginning of spring. It might be snowing one day or so during the show, but usually we get some nice weather that time too. And, you know, it's a big social event for gardeners from all over the world. And it's a fantastic educational opportunity. I can't say enough about the power of the seminars. Janet Inslee, who runs the seminar area, is just incredibly adept at I had to block a squirrel view from my dog. She's just wonderful at bringing in some of the best garden speakers from around the world. And I will tell you, if you're looking for me, you'll probably find me parked in the seminar area every day of the show.
Let's take a minute to thank our sponsors and then come back and play five quick questions. Discover how to earn your first $500 or your next $500 as a garden blogger. Get my simple five-step system for creating your own second income doing what you love part-time. Download instantly for free my garden blogger blueprint at www.backtomygarden.com/secret. Hey, what's the hottest trend in gardening? I think the hottest trend is aquaponics. Can you really grow a massive garden powered by fish? Find out more and discover the secrets to building fish-powered gardens at www.backtomygarden.com/fish. Speaking of educational opportunities, I just saw the clock. Our time is flying by, and now is the time in the show when we play a game called Five Quick Questions.
Okay.
This is your chance to impart your wisdom and experience on novice gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Sure.
Question number one. You've gone into clients' gardens. What's the number one excuse that you've heard that stops people from gardening?
The number one excuse I hear is, I kill things. And I have a naturally black thumb.
Oh, not a brown thumb, a black thumb. That's even
a
more
black
serious.
Thumb, yeah. Yes.
I understand. Good, good. You've had different teachers through the years. What's the best gardening advice that you've ever received?
Wow, that's a hard one, because I've had so many different teachers out there in this world. But the best advice is just do it. Just give it a try. You're going to kill some things along the way, but that's okay. That's part of the gardening world. Things live and die.
Now we're going to veer off the questions, because a lot of the listeners love it when the experts share either what's hot or what's not. And you get to go into other people's gardens. Do you see anything really trendy for next season, like a must-have or things that are no longer in favor?
Wow, what's really trendy? Well, I have to say perennial food is super, super hot right now. People are realizing that they like to grow food, and they like to get out and harvest and maybe preserve, but that perennial food, so for instance, that means like a blueberry bush that comes again, or those raspberries that you have, in a lot of ways, those are much more generous and less intensive on the earth than, say, a tomato plant, which dies at the end of the season. So I'd say perennial food is becoming hotter, and annual food is maybe taking a little back seat right now.
Love blueberries.
Yeah, me too.
Very good. Question number three. The internet's an awesome resource for gardeners. Do you have any friends that blog, or what are one or two websites that you frequent on the internet for gardening resources?
Oh, I have tons of friends on the internet in the gardening world. Teresa Lowe, who is the co-executive producer for Growing a Greener World, is one of my favorites. Living Homegrown is her blog outside of Growing a Greener World, and I absolutely love it. She offers up some of the most wonderful and helpful information, particularly about, for me, about preserving food. And I've learned quite a bit from her there. She also covers chickens and growing and homesteading and all sorts of things. Definitely one of my favorites out there. I also really enjoy Teresa O'Connor's blog, Seasonal Wisdom. What I really like about that one is I love all the history and lore that she covers. It's just such a unique, fun thing to read, and I just thoroughly enjoy what she has to say and her tone. And if you ever get a chance to hear her speak, she's just a very genuine person, and it comes through in her writing, and I really enjoy that. I'm also very much a fan of Annie Haven of Mupu Tea. She doesn't write as much, but her product is really wonderful. So maybe we mention that that's a big trend as well. But that's another site to visit. I'm a big fan of her product and the work that she does.
Yeah, I call her Professor Annie Haven. She has taken me under her wing.
Yeah, Annie is one of the most generous and just wonderful people out there. She's one to follow. I think her Twitter handle, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's at Green Soil, and she's just wonderful.
You were on Growing a Greener World, weren't you, or you worked with Joe?
I have worked with them, yeah. I have worked as a writer. I have been a guest many times. I've also been a stand-in. Teresa and I were joking. We were trying to count how many episodes I've actually appeared in, whether it's just my backside holding a bouquet of flowers in a Slow Flowers episode, or whether it is me actually focused on in an episode. And I worked on an episode on garden coaching together a couple of seasons ago. So yeah, we're all very close, and I'm honored to be able to help the show in any way I can.
I'm a bit of an evangelist for Joe Lample. When I was just getting started, he said, "Yeah, sure, I'll be on your show." And he's so gracious and helpful. He's such a Southern gentleman that I tell everybody, "Hey, you got to watch his show." And everywhere I go, I say, "Oh yeah, I know that guy," you know, and it's my little brush with gardening royalty.
Oh yeah, Joe, you know, you get what you see with Joe. He is that person. He's not putting on a personality for his show. He is who he is, and I love that about him.
Question number four, Robin, and I wanted to ask you, do you still read books at all? Are you mostly on the internet? And if you do read books, what's a good gardening book you can recommend?
Oh, gosh, I read books. I'll be honest, I tend to read a lot of fiction for personal pleasure. It is what I do before I go to sleep at night. It's my little escape. And I am a huge fan of The Signature of All Things. If you're looking for a wonderful piece of historical fiction that also is very plant explorer focused. And I absolutely just adore that book. So that would be my big recommendation.
The Signature of All Things. Fantastic.
Yep. By Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote Pray, Love. But this book is not Eat, Pray, Love. It's an entirely different and, in my opinion, much more wonderful read.
Fantastic. Question number five. This is a fun one. You can answer any way you like. Is there anything that you would love to experiment with in your garden next year? Or is there anything you want to suggest novice gardeners try to grow next season?
Wow. Well, yes and yes and yes. You know, I'm always looking for new things. You know, if you have an opportunity to kind of do some shopping online, there are a couple of places I love to look for new weird introductions, and one would be Far Reaches Farms. They are out of Western Washington, but you can visit their website, and they travel all over the world and bring back amazing plants, and I would truly love to try some of their really beautiful peonies. I took a trip out there last year and bought a hardy orchid, as well as a hardy ginger. So I'm both about the food gardening and about the ornamental gardening. So that's a really wonderful one. And then Plant Delights Nursery with Tony Advent. He's another explorer, and he has been a huge supporter of me. He has supplied me with some really interesting plants that I couldn't find otherwise in the United States. And he also has a website where you can shop and have plants shipped to you. And I'll just give this as a bit of enticement for folks that might be on the fence about coming to the Northwest Flower and Garden Show. Come and see the really amazing new plant that I introduced to my garden this year, Care of Tony. And I'll be introducing it there and describing how not only is it a unusual plant for the ornamental garden, but how it's actually a really wonderful edible as well. And I'm hoping that next year, this time of year, I'll actually be able to start harvesting from it and explore processing it to introduce to our Gardening for Better Blood Sugar program here at home.
Oh, man, fantastic. Holy moly. You could think all day and not come up with this stuff. A hardy orchid. I can't wait to see that. That's great.
Oh, it's beautiful. And there are a lot of them out there, actually. But I found a really fun one. I just hope I can get it through the winter. You know, again, things live and die. And I don't believe anybody has that black thumb. I think if it is black, it's black because you're sticking it in the dirt and you are getting it dirty. The green thumb thing, I think, actually, we really have dark brown and black thumbs if we're working as a gardener.
Folks in the car, make sure you follow Robin on Twitter at Garden Mentor. Maybe she'll give you a sneak peek of that secret plant she's growing. Also, follow her amazing resource / blog / intergalactic hub of all things good and gardening at www.gardenmentors.com. Robin, we're nearly out of time. You've been an incredible guest.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate it. It's fun. I like your game. Definitely fun. And I'm honored to be about a part of Back to My Garden.
I want to give you the last word to the listeners today. Can you leave us with either a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement on our gardening journey?
I would say no matter how old you are, whether you're the little kid in the back seat or the grandma driving in the front seat, you're never too young or too old to start gardening. All you have to do is dig in.
Thanks for being on the show, Robin.
Thanks, Dave. My pleasure.
Hello, garden lover. It's Dave. All of the links, resources, and websites mentioned in this episode will be posted at www.backtomygarden.com/63. If you enjoyed this episode, please come to the website and click share and help us reach even more gardeners. Have an amazing day. Happy gardening.